Well, Father, I just thank you this morning for these beautiful people came out to sit in your presence. And God, I know you're already here. I can feel you. I can smell you. I just know you're here, God. And Father God, there's so many needs that need to be met in the body of Christ. And I'm asking you to meet each and every need here this morning. Don't let anyone leave here hungry or thirsty, Father. Feed them fresh manna from heaven. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, God wants to talk to us about, can your light cut the darkness? You know, you don't even like to pick up a newspaper anymore or look the news on your computer because it's all bad. There is nothing good out there, is there? But we in the body of Christ, we know there's all good out there. That God is in total and complete control. Don't we know that? And because we know that, then we can go ahead and stay encouraged ourselves, and we can encourage everybody else around about us. This is what our job is, to encourage those around about us. Not to agree with their doom, gloom, and despair, but to encourage those around about us. And I'm asking each one of you to really think about that this morning right now. You know, and God spoke to us and told us to praise him all day. And so as you're praising him all day, and anybody comes up to you with a negative attitude, just praise the Lord. Just tell them how much Jesus loved them. Amen. I don't know if you read the prophetic word God gave me last night or this morning, whatever it was, where the enemy is really out there trying to steal your love. And we can't allow him to do that. The body of Christ has got to keep your love. If we don't keep our love, how is the world going to have love? Don't let the enemy steal your love in any way, shape, or form. All right, can your light cut the darkness? God said, man says that fools rush in where angels fear to tread, and that's a song. God said, but I am not man. I am God Almighty, and I go where I so desire. I go into the very abyss, and I tear down the kingdom of darkness. The darkness has no place in me. Therefore, I can tear down the kingdom of darkness. Now, let's just stop there. God said that darkness has no place in him. And because the darkness has no place in him, he can tear down the kingdom of darkness. And this is why God wants you to check out your light. Because if you have any kind of darkness in you, you are not going to be able to tear down the kingdom of darkness. I was watching last night on the TV about these people who go into homes and do exorcisms in homes, and I noticed that every story they told, it was where somebody got murdered in this home. But I noticed that these people were in there doing the exorcism, the devils were beating them up. But I noticed that the one man had a German ring on, you know, and somebody else did something else. But anyhow, they had they had darkness in them, and they kept saying to the spirit, you have to leave. And the spirits were punching them in the stomach and doing all kinds of things to them. And, you know, and the reason why the spirits didn't have to leave is because they didn't have pure light in them. So if you're going to fool around with deliverances, you never fool around with deliverance, but some people do, like they were doing, you have to make sure that you have pure light in you and that there's no darkness in you at all. Then you'll be able to dispel the darkness. All right? God goes on to ask, how bright is your light? Is it bright enough to demolish all of hell? Will your light so shine so brightly in the darkest of regions that no enemy can hide from you? Is your light beam razor sharp so that it can cut through the darkness? I want you to read this. I want you to put yourself in that place and ask yourself these questions. God says, my children, you cannot go into the regions of captivity with half a light. Your light must be bright and sharp. It must invade every region of hell. It must prevail through all darkness, and it cannot in any way be dim. Let's read that again. My children, you cannot go into the regions of captivity with half a light. Your light must be bright and sharp. It must invade every region of hell. It must prevail through all darkness, and it cannot in any way be dim. This morning, you have to start working on your light. You have to start getting the darkness out of you and become nothing but pure light. God says, How bright is bright? Bright is so bright that it will blind the demonic forces, and they will not be able to comprehend what is going on around about them. Is that how bright your light is? My word tells you that you are the light of the world, a light in the darkness. But as we look, now let's be honest, as we look at the body of Christ, do you really see that? Do you really see lights in the body of Christ? Pure lights. We don't. And this is why the body of Christ is not the witness that it needs to be to draw in the lost and the dying. I really want you to think about these things. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the," Jesus speaking, "you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let your light, not your neighbor's, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. God says, children, where is your light? That light that lights every dark path so others will not stumble nor fall. That light that fills all the empty voided places that the enemy tries to crawl into. That light that snuffs out every ounce of fear. That light that my son Jesus was for all the world to see. Let's read that again. Children, where is your light? That light that lights every dark path so others will not stumble nor fall. That light that fills all the empty voided places that the enemy tries to crawl into. That light that snuffs out every ounce of fear. That light that my son Jesus was for all the world to see. Ask yourself those questions. God says, how do I get that light, you ask? First, you must be full of the love of Christ. You must have a love for the down and outer. You must lay your own life aside for those around about you. You must continually and foremost want what I want for my children, and that is total freedom from every bondage created in hell. Everyone you meet is one of God's children. When you sit with your brother and your sister in the house of God and you talk about them and you defile them with your words, you do not have the light or the love of Christ within you. You are your brother's keeper, isn't that right? And, you know, and our light is not hid under a bushel, right? And so therefore, for we have a brother or sister that's hurting and that we disagree with, that does not give us a right to run them down. That gives us the right to pray for them, right? And that's where the body of Christ fails. We don't pray for our brothers and sisters. We talk about them. And God wants us to stop. God says your total and complete desire must be to see all of creation free from fear and sorrow. Not just one or two, but all of creation free from fear and sorrow. There is a place in each and every life where joy unspeakable will overflow and will snuff out all fear and sorrow, in which God said is darkness. But you are the vessel that I have chosen to use to allow my anointing to flow through and set the captives free. I don't care what your calling is, what calling God has on your life, you are the vessel that God wants to use in that calling to set the captives free. It's not to exalt you. It's not to exalt a ministry, but it's to set the captives free. And the body of Christ has gotten into this mode, exalt me, exalt me, exalt me. It's all about me. It's not about you at all. It's about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's about the God that lives inside of you. It's all about your walk with God and how you need to be drawing others into the kingdom of light. All right? And I know the body of Christ has gone through a terrible, terrible 10 years of destruction. But we don't have to stay there. We sang that song about the breakthrough. And God wants us to have the breakthrough. And he wants us to have the anointing to set the captives free. I don't care what you've gone through in the past 10 years. It was all about growing you up so God could use you in this end time dispensation. Some of you probably went through all kinds of hell that you never thought you'd ever go through. But God wanted you to experience all these different aspects of hell so that when the time came, which is right now, he can send you forth and you can witness and say, I've been there. I've been through that. And God has brought me through. Are you understanding this? You know, so many people in the body of Christ, we say, God, why are you allowing me to go through this? I've served you. I've done this, that, and the other. It's because he needs you to grow up. If you don't experience some things, you're not going to be able to witness to people. You cannot witness to somebody if you have never experienced it. All right? Now, I'm not saying that you have to go be a drug addict to witness to a drug addict. I'm not saying that. But, you know, if you don't ever have hurt and pain, how are you going to witness to somebody that's hurting and in pain? If you've never been on the street, no place to go, how are you going to minister to somebody that's out there on the street and no place to go? How are you going to minister hope to them? Are you seeing what I'm saying? You know, if you've never had a hard time with your finances, how are you going to encourage somebody else that God can take care of their finances? All right, so if you've been complaining about some of the things God's made you go through, quit your complaining, because God's setting you up for one of the biggest surprises that you're ever going to get in your life. One of the biggest blessings. All right, in Christ's commands, the first command to repent tells us how to restore fellowship with God and become qualified to enter into his kingdom, right? The second command is to follow me, calls for a total change in goals and priorities so that we can become fishers of men. Now, this is me saying this, not God. This is not me. And the third command to rejoice in persecution is a secret of becoming bright lights so that people will be attracted to our love and God's truth. The third command to rejoice in persecution is the secret of becoming bright lights so that people will be attracted to our love and God's truth. And see, right there in that third command, we fail. You know, when we go through persecution, we moan and we groan, and we complain to anybody to open their ear to listen, don't we? But that's not what we should be. It's a secret of becoming bright lights so that people be attracted to our loving God's word. Now, after passing the test of persecution, reproach, and having evil spoken of us, we will have the brightness of light to be noticeable to others. That's still me speaking. Since it has been noted that the church has very little influence in society, the question is, what must I do to let my light shine? All right. I just want to stop there and say, you know, preaching what now, I think 30 years, I've run across many people in the body of Christ. And I've watched them where they were nothing, and I've watched them as they grow in Christ, as they allow God's word to wash them inside out, you know, from the inside out, and to cleanse all the junk that's in there. And I'm watching them grow up, and now I'm watching them, looking at them and seeing them strong towers that God can use, because they've gone through all the dregs of life. They know what living down there in hell is all like, what it's like. And now they are rejoicing in their trials and tribulations that they just came through, and now they can be a true witness to the down and outer. I'm really witnessing that, and I'm excited about that. And, you know, and even listen to Sister Elaine's testimony this morning. You know, I thought, you know, that's a wonderful testimony. You know, it's a powerful testimony. And each one of us have a powerful testimony if we would just look at it like a testimony. And what's the word of God say? How do we overcome? By our testimonies. You just don't understand how much is in you that if you start listening to what people are saying instead of your mouth running all the time, listen to what they're saying, God will raise up within you your testimony, and you'll be able to then speak life into those people. All right. All right. I said, since it has been noted that the church has very little influence in society, the question is, what must I do to let my light shine? I must have a connection to the source of light. And John 12:35 says, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. Verse 36 says, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. So we have to be connected to the source of light, which is Jesus Christ. Then John 12:46 says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Now let's stop there. Each one of you sitting here this morning, Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world. God is sending you forth as a light into a dark, dark world. And God said in that prophetic word, the gross darkness has come upon us. Now you guys, you've been with God long enough that your light should be so bright that you can go out there and you can dispel the darkness. Not maybe 100%, but you can dispel the darkness. I want each one of you to understand this. From this day forth, you can no longer just go. You have to go with a light that is so bright that it will break up anything that's in anybody. Are you listening here? Just by you walking into a room, the light in you should dispel the darkness. But you're going to have to comprehend one thing, that Jesus Christ is a light, and you have to have him deep within inside of you. And then he will come forth, his light will come forth, and he is who dispels the darkness. Those who follow Jesus actually become reflectors of the light. Children, we shall surely go into the regions of captivity, and we shall set the captives free. Now, that's what God said. Children, we shall surely go into the regions of captivity, and we shall set the captives free. And Jude chapter 1, verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. When I was very first born again, God gave me this scripture, and he said verse 23 is what he was sending me forth to do. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. And if you look around about you, that the peoples around about you, some of them are right on the very edge of the abyss, getting ready to fall into hell. And in other words, they are dark. And God is sending you to these people. We know the world is dark. And I don't care where you go out there, you're going to meet darkness. Your light must pull them out of the dregs of hell. It has to be that bright. Children, there is always a light at the end of the tunnel. This is God speaking. You just have to keep walking until you see that light that will lead you to the end of the tunnel. Now, how many of you are going through that? God said, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You say, God, where is the tunnel? Where is the end of the tunnel? I know I said that one time. Just keep walking. You'll soon see it. So if you haven't seen the light yet, keep walking. You'll see it. Then God says, some of you cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel because you have tunnel vision and you cannot see through spiritual eyes. See that? Your eyes must be the eyes of Christ and you must see as he sees. He never sees a negative. He always sees the positive. He, Jesus, desires and determines to look for the best in every soul and never goes beyond the outer darkness. This is God speaking. He, Jesus, desires and determines to look for the best in every soul and never goes beyond into the outer darkness. And see, when we look at somebody, we just see them as they are and we think, oh, we brush them off. Jesus doesn't do that. we look at what they're doing and what they are, Jesus looks into the heart. He looks into the pain and the agony that they're going through. You know, nobody wants to be ignorant or rude. They really don't. Something has happened in their life to cause them to be reacting the way they're reacting. And we need to understand that so that we can minister to the down and outers. He, Jesus, sees each soul is saved. He, Jesus, sees each soul delivered. He, Jesus, sees each soul on fire for the kingdom of light. And He, Jesus, sees each soul as a child of the Most High God. God says, how do you see the souls of the lost and forsaken? All around us are people who need Christ. Do we see them? All around us are believers who are struggling to walk with Christ. Do we see them? All around us are believers desperately wanting to be connected, but are entrenched in loneliness, and do we see them? This is all God speaking. How do you really look at people around about you? Or are you so busy engrossed in your own self that you never even notice the people around about you? And I do think that's the trouble with the body of Christ, that we don't notice the people around about us and see the pain in their faces and pray for them. We don't have to go lay hands on them. You can be standing in the line at the market and you can see somebody, you know they're hurting, and just pray a prayer of peace over them. God says, how do you see? Do you see through the eyes of Christ, or do you still look through the eyes of the flesh? Fleshly eyes will not do the works that needs to be done on the streets, in the marketplaces, or in the workplaces, even in my house where there are lost souls. Come away, my beloved ones, and allow me to wash your eyes with the eye salve of heaven, and allow me to change your vision so you see through spiritual eyes from the moment forth and not fleshly eyes. Please do yourself a favor and God a favor. Don't ever look at anybody through fleshly eyes from this moment forth. Say, God, give me the eyes of Christ and let me see this person as you see them. Amen. Each one of us in here, we know that there's been times in our life when if people looked at us through fleshly eyes, we wouldn't be sitting here today. But God allowed somebody to see you through spiritual eyes and see deep down inside of you and then pray for you and bring you forth. God's always looking for an intercessor. And each one of us in here are intercessors. And we need to be praying for those who are down and out, those who are hurting, even those who are out there killing people. There's a reason for all of this. All right? God said, allow me to enlighten your eyes of understanding. Allow me to repair all that is wrong in you so that you can go forth and win the lost at any cost. Ephesians 1:18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So many, many souls being weighed in the balance. Some who were not meant for the dark hole of the abyss are slipping into that hole each and every day because there is no intercessor for their souls. This is God speaking. So many, many souls being weighed in the balance. Some who were not meant for the dark hole of the abyss are slipping into that hole each and every day because there is no intercessor for their souls. God says, my children, you must proceed forth this day with determination that not one soul is going to slide into the abyss on your watch. That's a big thing. You're going to have to change your whole way of thinking. You really might even have to change your whole way of living if you're going to say that not one soul is going to slide into the abyss on my watch. You might be really busy praying, interceding for people. God said, I will equip you each and every morning. I will guide your footsteps each and every day. I will bring you to the valley of tears and sorrows and show you just how to bring the souls into my kingdom. Life is a journey through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, on our journey to the safety of the city of refuge. If we will learn to dig a well in every adversity, God's refreshing will come. Psalm 84:5 says, "Blessed is a man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage." So they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. The valley of Baca is the times in your life when you feel like there's no hope. And it's your valley of tears. But you keep walking through that valley no matter what's going on, because you know that you cannot sit down. You cannot quit. You don't have the option to do that. You have to keep walking and just keep walking and just keep walking. And God will give you strength as you go on. All right? Do you know that the people out there in the streets don't even want to walk no more? They feel desolate and they feel broken. They're brokenhearted and they feel like there's no hope. And I know there's a lot of talk about the street people right now, but that's where God's at. Most street people are out there because somebody wouldn't love them. Somebody would not understand them. And so they just made them leave. And that's not the answer for anything. God is the answer for all things. And we are the vessel that God wants to work through to save these lost souls. Or I'm going to repeat now what God said before I did the scriptures. He said, "I will equip you each and every morning. I will guide your footsteps each and every day. I will bring you to the valley of tears and sorrows and show you just how to bring the souls into my kingdom. Great dreams and visions await each of you that so desire that type of walk with me. That walk is a supernatural walk that no one can stop except you." Are you really wanting to walk in the supernatural? You say you do, but I don't think it's the same supernatural that God is talking about. I really don't. "Great dreams and visions await each of you that so desire that type of walk with me. That walk is a supernatural walk that no one can stop except you. All that transpires in your life is in your hands. Either you give me control or you give the enemy control. Come, my children, and let's talk. Let's get everything that is hindering out in the open, and then let's walk forth unhindered and bring in that harvest of souls." Maybe some of you just need to go home and sit down and talk with the Father. Just pour out your heart to him. Tell him exactly what you're feeling and tell him of all the misunderstandings that you have and all the hurts and all the pains and how you're even upset with him. Because after all, he didn't make things go the way you wanted them to go. See, we all have to understand that God makes things go the way he knows they have to go, not the way we want them to go. There isn't one of us sitting in this room this morning that can say that you wish God would have made things go differently than what they did. But they didn't go differently. They went the way God wanted them to. See, the problem is you didn't react properly. You got all bent out of shape with God. You got all upset. "After all, God, who are you? Why should I serve you? You didn't give me what I want." No, if he'd have gave you what you want, you'd be dead. Are you understanding this? And though you wouldn't be a witness to nobody. And really and truly, you wouldn't even be good for God if he gave you everything that you wanted. I'm no different to you. There's many times that God, how come you made it go this way and not that way? I think I was talking to Brother Christopher Gore last night, yesterday or the day before, and God spoke to him about something, and then I said, "Well, God, we're just come before you now. We want you to explain to us why you said what you said." And God said, "I don't have to explain myself to him, you, or anybody else." He said, "I'm God." So that's what he said. Isn't that what he said to Christopher? We shut up right then and there, didn't we? I didn't pray anymore. Because he's God. He does not have to explain to you why he told you what he told you. I want you all to remember that, because that just really is into my spirit, man. When you get excited with God and go to him and start trying to make him. And I really wanted God to tell us why he said what he said. And that's what he said. All right, God says, "The drumbeat has begun. the drumbeat of heaven that is causing all of hell to tremble. Come, my children, come away with me and follow that drumbeat and bring in the lost and the dying. You know, God's saying, he said a while back, the music is going to start changing. And I really believe he's talking about the drumbeat of heaven. I don't believe it had anything at all to do with the way we sing. Because of when he spoke this to me, I just felt all of a sudden, we've been looking at this all wrong. We're going to be going through a different drumbeat with God. God said, this is the last harvest. This is the greatest harvest of souls ever brought into the kingdom of light. And I need each and every one of you to be in that army of believers that will work the works while it is still day. Remember, eye has not seen nor ear heard what is about to take place in my kingdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So many miracles of healing just waiting for you to surrender all of yourself and allow me to accomplish the signs and wonders and miracles through you. God said there's so many miracles out there, but they're just waiting on you to surrender yourself to God so he can work through you to do the great signs, wonders, and miracles. God says, you have seen absolutely nothing yet. Believe me, you have seen absolutely nothing as of this day. What is going on in the heavenly realm is a sight to behold, and I mean a sight to behold. I just say, God, why don't we just open up the heavens and let me see that? But he didn't do that either, right? The angels are getting ready. The heavenly choir is rejoicing night and day. The ones that have gone on before are rejoicing. Why aren't you rejoicing? Why aren't you on the road to recovery, to recovering those lost souls? God's asking you, why are you walking around in the molly grubs? Why aren't you rejoicing? Why aren't you concerned about the lost souls more than what's going on in your own life? And God said, let's talk about religion. Who said religion was of me? I am not about religion. I'm about spirit, and spirit is calling unto spirit. This hour and all that are walking in the spirit are hearing my cries. And they are rejoicing, and they have been preparing themselves for the final harvest of souls. And he says, are you one of those? Are you anxiously awaiting each and every day for me to touch you and send you forth? And I'm, you know, God's asking you that, so I'm asking you that too. Are you one of those that have been preparing yourself for the God to call you forth to harvest the lost souls? I know we have some here in the lighthouse who you've been waiting, and God's finally called you to reach out to those lost souls. And I'm excited as I watch what you're doing and how God is using you. I think it's powerful. But what about the rest of you? Are you really, really wanting God to touch you so you can reach the lost souls? See, the problem with the body of Christ, and God just now saying this, so I'm going to say it, is that you don't really want to give up all of your sins, all of your bad habits, and that's why God can't use you the way he wants to. You still want, I don't know what you have, but you still might just want to smoke a cigarette. You still might just want to drink a glass of wine. You still might want to just watch some sort of smutty TV show. And we can't do that, you know, and be vessels of honor that God can work through. We can't do that. And I don't know what's in each of your hearts, only God does. But I think, and I would suggest each one of you go before God and let God show you your heart. If there's anything in you that God needs to remove, allow him to remove it. Allow him to wash you white as snow on the inside. You've already prettied up the outside. Now let God cleanse the inside so God can use you. I'm going to tell you what you're going to do is when God starts moving in the signs, wonders, and miracles, and you're going to be standing there and you're going to see these people doing all these great, wonderful things, and you're going to be standing on the sidelines and you're going, why aren't you using me, God? It's because you didn't allow him to touch you and remove everything that was not of him out of you. All right? And this isn't pointing a finger at anybody. I believe each one of us in here, including me, there might be a little bit of something in us yet that God still has to touch and remove out of us so that we can be just like Jesus. All right? All right, God said, are you about the Father's business? I think that's where I'm at. Are you like a racehorse at the starting gate waiting impatiently for the signal to run? How many of you are like that? How many of you are like a horse at the starting gate and you're just waiting for that gunshot so you can start running? I am too, but are we ready? Are we cleansed? And see, now, please don't take that negatively, because I know from what God has told me, we have to make sure each and every day that we're ready to run. We have to get up every morning and give ourselves to God and let Him talk to us and give us instruction so that if the gunshot goes off right that second, you're ready to go, right? Because the enemy, we all know the enemy has traps laying everywhere. And he could cause us to fall in a trap just as a gunshot went off. And then we miss the race altogether. Isn't that how it goes? And you don't walk in fear in this. You really don't. You walk in surety of heart that you are God's child. And He's not going to let you do anything that's going to keep you from this race. He just isn't. You're the only one who can stop yourself. Amen. How many of you might even get up once someday and say, God, I'm so unworthy. You might have had a bad thought. You might have said something you shouldn't have said. And you, it just slips out there and you know, I'm so unworthy. And how many right now, in the last, I'll say, 8 years, have found out that it's really harder to keep yourself pure than it was 8 years before? The enemy has just come in and just bombarded and bombarded and bombarded. And you found yourself doing or saying things you thought you'd never do or say. But that's how strong, and now, but the enemy has gotten stronger. And because of what we've gone through, God was growing us up. And the enemy will not be able to trip us up ever again. Are you listening? So, you know, if you had a hard 8 years, that's fine. You grew. You learned a lot, and God has cleansed you, and you're ready to go forth. And don't let the enemy tell you you're not. All right, I said, are you about the Father's business? Are you like a racehorse at the starting gate waiting impatiently for the signal to run? If you are, then you will hear the signal, and you will be running after those lost souls with all of your might. And I will be empowering you to bring those souls into my kingdom each and every day. He is going to empower you each and every day. Talk about street ministry. The street corners will be full of my prophets, evangelists, and empowered ones. See, it's just not, I'm glad he said that, because right now the emphasis is on prophets and evangelists, you know. But he said it, his empowered ones. And who's his empowered ones? Just anybody sitting in the house of God. He's going to empower you just to go forth and do this ministry. All right, the street corners will be full of my prophets, evangelists, and empowered ones, and the lost souls will be drawn to the anointing, and I will speak life into their dry, dead bones, and you will see Hallelujah Square all over again. And I researched Hallelujah Square, and it's just heaven. You're just going to see heaven. And God said, I'm here to tell you, children, we are in this together. And I will be with you to do whatever you can believe for me to do. See, whatever you can believe for God to do. There isn't one stone that I will leave unturned until every soul hears my gospel. And I need you to take that gospel to a lost and dying world. That lost soul, I'm hearing God say, could be an old lady or an old man laying in a hospital room that never heard Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you have to go across the ocean. It doesn't mean you have to hold a great big meeting. God will lead you to the lost and the dying. He will lead you to that one that has never heard the gospel. We need to quit wanting to be the center of attention. Jesus Christ is the center of attention. You know, God told me, He's a daughter. He said, when you take down your Valentine stuff, He said, I want all the red flowers to remain, because I want my people to look at those red flowers to resemble my son's blood. He said, because we're in this dispensation of time where everybody has to remember the blood of my son. And I thought that was awesome. You know, and every time you look at a red flower, you think, Jesus' blood ran down Calvary's hill just for me. And then I'm going to take that blood to all the nations. Your nations are people. And because I carry the blood of Jesus with me, they're going to be healed. Just as I was healed of all my, you know, sins, whatever, I will carry that same anointing to the nations. How many of you in here this morning are really ready to carry the blood of Jesus to the nations? Nations could be your husband or your wife. It could be just your sister or brother sits beside you in church every Sunday that you know isn't saved. You know there's an awful lot of people sitting in the house of God not saved. They just go to church because that's the thing to do. Don't ever go to church because that's the thing to do. You go to church to fellowship with your Father. Not even with your brothers and your sisters, but with the Father. You know, God said, give him the seventh day. He wants that one day for you to commune with him and him only. And we need to start giving God his day. We need to start doing the things that God is calling us for to do. We need to be a witness. You know, in my home, I won't let anybody do any work on Sunday. Nothing. You just don't do any work on Sunday. And, you know, I have people in my home that are not saved. And they're starting to talk about that now. She really lives what she preaches. She won't let us do anything on Sunday. It's not that they don't want to. They like to because they're working. But that's the day of rest. That's the day God has given us to spend time with him. Are you understanding that? If you're going to be a light, then be a light 100%. Don't be a light 99.9. If you're going to preach the gospel, God, if you're going to preach it, then you have to live it. If you're not living it, then don't preach it. That's why you don't hear a lot of sin preached over the pulpit, because the pastors are in sin. And if they preach it, then they have to live it. And they don't want to get out of their sin. Don't you be one of those. Don't be half of a Christian. Be a full-blown child of God, ready to do the works the Father's called you to do. How bright is your light? We'll cut the darkness in the very throes of hell. How bright is your light? Amen. That's God's question to you this morning. How bright is your life, your light? Father, I thank you and I praise you this morning. We stand in your presence right now, God. I know that you want to do a work, so we're standing in your presence, giving you that opportunity. And Father God, we thank you for it in Jesus' holy, mighty name.